All right, before we get going, parents, especially parents of young children, pay attention to what I'm about to say, because it is hard speaking in code to a room of 150 people. So I love origin stories, especially the stories of larger-than-life figures that demonstrate flaws and vulnerability. And as I look around the sanctuary, and you do, you can see that we are probably a bit of a mixed bag of traditions and beliefs about certain larger-than-life figures coming to town soon during the most wonderful time of the year. And I don't think I'm going to ruin anyone's childhood today, because I'll only be talking about the adventures of certain saints when they were young men. And I won't be weighing in on whatsoever anyone's current status, right? But it's a sensitive subject, so look at the sermon title if you don't know what I'm saying. I'm talking about him. Okay. So that's your mild word of warning. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer, and the giver of peace. Amen. So according to certain traditions of the church, this past Friday, December 6th, was a special feast day. Does anyone know it? The Feast of Saint Nicholas. Saint Nicholas is, of course, a man whom many of us have come to love and know as Santa Claus. But long ago, long before you and I were born, over 1,300 years ago, in fact, and long before anyone had ever heard of a holly jolly man with a snow-white beard and elves, there lived a boy named Nicholas, who lived in a seaside village along the coast of what is modern-day Turkey. Nicholas was the son of two wealthy Greek parents who raised him as a devout Christian. And this was at a time when it took a lot of bravery to be a Christian because there was a powerful Roman emperor named Diocletian who ruled all the land, and he did not like the church very much at all. And so life for Nicholas while he was growing up was quite dangerous at times and scary too. Not unlike the days of God's prophets in the Hebrew Bible, where we got today's passage. Life became even more complicated for Nicholas when, while he was still young, a plague swept through his region, and both his mother and his father became sick and died. He survives them, and he inherits a small fortune. But it seems that young Nicholas was a very sincere person and took his Sunday school lessons quite seriously. So informed by one of Jesus' lessons that we like to conveniently ignore, he takes the vast majority of all of his newfound wealth and he gives it to the poor and needy of his village. He enters into ministry and quickly becomes not just a pastor or a priest of a small church, but he becomes the bishop in charge of all the churches in a whole city named Myra, which is a powerful position. But even though he was now this big deal, he continues to devote his time and energy toward caring for others and to charity, even when he becomes exiled for his faith during a period of full-blown Christian persecution. The whole while, it is said that there was always an enormous piece of his heart reserved for children, especially orphans and the poor. And fittingly, many of the legendary miracles attributed to him involve aiding children in need. Saint Nicholas of Myra was almost by every account courageous, steadfast, enormously generous, and the epitome of patience and gentleness. At least, according to most of the stories we have about him. But there is another story about St. Nicholas that speaks to a different side of him. And it goes like this, that at the time that he would have been in his 40s, this is in 325 AD, and he's already the Bishop of Myra, he loses his temper. So the church is in a much safer state of affairs. It's now under the rule of the new Roman Emperor Constantine the Great, who makes Christianity a state-sponsored religion. In the city of Nicaea, Emperor Constantine convenes the first ever great ecumenical council, a gathering of all the top church leaders. And the reason was because now that the church didn't have to worry about such things as persecution and staying alive, it was time to move on to clarify some of the headier theological issues. Specifically, it seems that everyone can agree that there is something special about Jesus, but there's a bit of disagreement as to exactly what that is. Is he God? Is he like God? Is he just really high up on the food chain? There wasn't yet an official ruling on the matter. And so this argument gets really heated, right? And there's name-calling. People are getting ready to throw each other out of the church. And one of the angriest of all is said to have been Saint Nicholas. He's, just picture him smoldering while the fight reaches this fever pitch. What is the deal with Jesus? Well, you don't know. Well, you sure don't know. You shut your mouth when you're talking to me. I mean, a pretty typical clergy gathering. And those are all direct quotes, by the way. And as the story goes, when the fight is at its worst, Nicholas, Saint Nicholas, gets up from where he's sitting, walks over to the leader of the opposition, calls him a heretic, and slaps him right across the face. Isn't that awesome? I mean, the story goes on to say that, you know, the rest of the bishops, even the ones that were on his side, are shocked and appalled. Nicholas can't just go around slapping other priests. So even if it is about important church stuff, so they chain him up and they throw him in jail to help him calm down and keep him from hitting anyone else for the rest of the day. And in the morning, Nicholas is sorry, he's released, and eventually, physical assaults notwithstanding, his side of the argument wins the debate. And what comes out of this gathering is the Nicene Creed, the first draft of it, which we read a few minutes ago. Isn't that a wild story? And whether it is, in fact, historically accurate or it's just an urban legend, I love it. Probably a little too much, in part because of the mischief and the irony of it all. But moreover, and how it gets at something about being human that I think is absolutely true, and that is that everyone, and I mean everyone, has the ability to just lose it. That everyone has it in them to succumb to anger and hate and have their temper take over their actions and to do so at the expense of others. Which I'm not talking about physically, obviously, all the time. And for some folks, it takes more to get them there. But it is possible for anger to get the better of any of us, even within the best and bravest and most generous and loving. It is a powerful and universal force. And it is enormously difficult to contend with always in a healthy way. Which isn't anything new, right? Our species' anger management problems are well documented, have been ever since we've been keeping documents. On Friday, during the Feast of St. Nicholas, Haley and I were riding at a bookstore, and I was taking a coffee break. I was wandering through the shelves and looking at all the books, and I ran across a copy of one of our very oldest stories, which is the ancient epic, The Iliad. One of humankind's very oldest books, written sometime during the late Bronze Age, I think. And I had to read it for, I think, 5 different classes when I was in college, and so I was familiar with it, and I smiled when I saw it, because I knew what was in there. And as I turn to the first page, sure enough, there it is. First sentence, a single word. Rage. That's it, the opening line of one of the oldest, most celebrated pieces of literature in human history. Rage. Singo, goddess of Achilles, rage. Black and murderous, that cost the Greeks incalculable pain, pitching countless souls of heroes into Hades' deep dark. And what more is there to say about us and what we've done to ourselves? A world where even Santa Claus himself is willing to go to fisticuffs with another priest. Over a difference in theological understandings concerning what is, if we're being honest, a fairly tricky concept. I mean, poor Arius. Okay, so you've got the Creator, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, but they're all the same God, which means that 1 + 1 + 1 equals... I don't get it. Well, you will after Santa gets done with you. And I mean, I'm on St. Nick's side of the argument here, and I'm not saying our understanding of the nature of Christ is an insignificant issue in the slightest. But take into account things like basic arithmetic and how little is actually said about the Holy Trinity in Scripture, it's not as straightforward as we sometimes make it out to be, but you know what is? What is much more straightforward, and a message that we get again and again and again. Things that Jesus keeps saying, like, blessed are the peacemakers, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if someone slaps you, just give them the other cheek too. And then there's that one time when all the heavenly hosts announced the arrival of baby Jesus to some shepherds watching over their flocks at night. And what do they sing? Glory to God in the highest and peace to all people on earth. And then there are all the times when the Hebrew prophets speak of a God beckoning us to just calm down. Be nice. Love each other. And make the extra effort to make a positive difference. No matter what other people have done, enough is enough with all this hate and slapping. Comfort. Comfort, my people. Which is the Hebrew word nacham, which is a commandment meaning go forth and demonstrate compassion. There's nothing ambiguous about all that. That no matter how hard it is to come by, peace is one of our chief goals. That it's worth it. It's worth the struggle. And that it is desperately needed. The world needs us to choose to be all the things Father Christmas is meant to embody. The things that Jesus comes down to earth and does embody. No matter how furious we may get at others, even if they've just really got it coming, the lousy heretics. The world is aching for those that hear God's word of peace to put in the extra effort and share it as much as possible. And may God give us the strength and the courage to be agents of healing, comfort, and peace in this season, in this year to come, and always. Amen.